You're listening to the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
I'm taking away my children, but it was all just like, I just felt like it was like a punishment from God. And so I just didn't want to be in another failed marriage. I just didn't.
Did your dad consider it your failure that you got divorced?
Yes.
Did you seek out spiritual counseling?
I did.
Now I want to talk to you about St. Mark's, okay?
Okay.
Do you need some water?
Yes.
May I approach your arm?
Yes.
Thank you. What is St. Mark's?
It's the church that I attended in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Is it a big church or a small church?
It's a big church.
Did you have any particular role within the church?
Yes. I participated in evangelism, but eventually became a life group leader.
How were you selected to become a life group leader?
One Sunday, was talking to just in shaking hands with some of the pastors. Pastor Perry, Brodus Perry, he had asked me, he was like, "Are you thinking about being a life group member?" And at that time, I was like, "I'll consider it." And then eventually, I did go ahead and sign up to become a life group leader.
And this was prior to you reaching out for that spiritual counseling, right?
Correct.
How many members go to St. Mark's?
At the time, approximately 6,000.
How many people were selected to be life group leaders?
In our first set of leadership training, it may have been approximately 60 to 80 of us.
Okay. And were you then subdivided into groups?
Yes, we were divided into cohorts.
How many people were in each cohort?
About 8 to 10.
How many people were in your cohort?
It was about 8 of us.
Who was the supervisor, the supervising pastor for your cohort?
Brodus was our leader.
Would you consider y'all's group to have been a close group?
We were very close.
Did you become close with Pastor Perry through that group?
I did.
Is that why you reached out to him for spiritual counseling?
Yes, I trusted him.
Now, I want to talk to you about that counseling, okay? When you approached Brodus Perry about counseling, did you explain why you wanted counseling?
I did.
What did you tell him?
I told him that my husband and I were having some marital issues, and I just needed to figure out spiritually which direction I just needed some spiritual guidance on direction.
Did Pastor Perry agree to meet with you?
He did.
Where did y'all meet?
We met at my office.
Why?
I didn't feel comfortable with being in the church, and I wanted to be in a safe space because this was, again, something that I was not fully embracing that I had to deal with, and I wanted to be in a space where I knew that I could be able to be vulnerable.
During the first counseling session, what did you discuss?
Everything that was going on within my marriage.
How long was the first counseling session?
It was about 2 hours.
Were you emotional during that process?
Yes.
Were you open?
I was.
Did you tell him very personal, private things?
I did.
At the end of that session, did you determine at that time that you were going to ask for a second session?
Yes.
How long until you had a second session?
It was approximately 2 to 3 weeks before the next one.
Did it feel good to get all of that off of your chest?
Yes.
Did you reach out to Brodus Perry for a second counseling session?
I did.
Did he say that he would come do a second counseling session?
He did.
When you had your second counseling session, Did you ask him about any odd behavior from the first session?
I did.
What was that?
In the first session, from the moment he walked through the door, he had his hands in his coat pocket, his jacket pocket, and he sat there the entire time during the session with his hands in his pocket. So I found that to be a little strange, but I didn't say anything in the first session. So I asked him during the section session, because he came in and he didn't have his hands in his pocket. And I was like, what was that with you having your hands in your pockets? And at that time, he told me it was because he was trying to maintain his professionalism.
Was that the first time that you had any indication that he might be interested in you?
That was the first time.
Did you proceed to start with the second counseling session?
We did.
What happened after you started the counseling session?
As I was talking and sharing, Brodus reached over and grabbed, I had a two-arm chair, and he pulled me toward him and began to passionately kiss me. And from there, in that session, we did have sex for the first time.
Were you proud of that encounter?
In hindsight, no, but at that time, he was giving me everything that I had been missing for a long time.
Did you know that he was married?
I did.
Did you know his wife?
At that time, I had seen her at church, but didn't know of her.
You got to know her better later?
Yes.
How did you feel about the fact that Brodus was married?
At that time, honestly, I did not think about it. I knew that we both were married, and I was engaged in what he was giving me.
Had you had any attention like that in a long time?
No, I hadn't.
Had
in
you
years.
Had any emotional attention?
Not in years.
Physical attention?
Not like that, no.
After your counseling sessions, did you end up getting divorced?
That was in February, and I did end up getting divorced in December of that year.
That's when it was finalized?
Yes.
And did Pastor Perry encourage you to get divorced?
We talked about it, and there were times whenever we would be on trips, he would make mention of, oh, we can't do that until you get a divorce, or we can't do this until you get a divorce.
Now, I want to talk to you about your relationship with Brodus Perry, okay?
Okay.
After y'all had sex, did Brodus give you any particular instructions?
Yes. He immediately told me to download a app for us to be able to communicate. That app was called Confide.
Tell the jury what the Confide app did.
The Confide app is whenever you would send a message, and when you read that message, it would disappear. You couldn't screenshot it or anything like that. It would immediately disappear once you took your finger off the screen.
Did Brodus teach you how to use that app?
As we continued the app, it was probably maybe a week or two later, he found out that if you had, like, other people had your phone number in your phone and they had that app, then they could see you on it. So he had me to change my name on it and also change the way that I attached it to my account. So I went from having my phone number to coming up with a email address. So I made a new email address to be able to attach it that nobody else had.
And he taught you what all you needed to do for that app to do that?
Correct.
So that it could not be traceable back to you?
Correct.
And he did that all very quickly?
Yes.
Did he have, or was it almost a rule, was it a rule, that you had to use that app to talk to him?
Most definitely. That was our main form of communication. As the relationship went on, if he wanted to use a different form of communication, like an email or maybe even direct messaging, he would then tell me, go to this platform or go to that one. But it was not, if I was to reach out to him without him reaching out to me first, I had to use a Confide app.
Did he set any other rules for your relationship?
Yes. As far as it came to trips that he wanted me to go on with him, I was the one who had to pay my way as far as airfare or travel. And then he would, you know, he would then take care of the rest, meaning that I would have somewhere to stay. When I was in the hotel rooms, I was to stay naked. I couldn't have on any clothes. I had to, and the only way I would have clothes on is if, like, you know, we were getting ready to go out. But other than that, when in the hotel room, I had to be naked. I couldn't, if something was to have happened to him as far as medically, he did not want me to call 911. I would have to call, who we referenced him as the professor, but it was Pastor Pointer. I would have to call him in order to get him emergency attention. He said verbatim lots of times, do not call 911.
Did he add any rules towards the end of your relationship?
At the end of the relationship, he wanted me to say yes, sir, and no, sir, to him.
Now, I want to kind of break those down individually, okay?
Okay.
You were required to use the Confide app.
Yes.
I want to talk to you about the travel, okay? What kind of trips did Brodus want you to come on?
The very first one was to Vegas. He had some convention or something that he was at, and so that was the first one. He had invited me to go to Cuba with him that year, but he ended up right at the last minute changing it, saying that Tabitha wanted to go with him, so she went with him, and he was like, well, since you're not going to Cuba, go ahead and sign up to go to Israel for the church group trip. So I signed up to go to Israel and paid my way for that. I traveled with him to Savannah whenever he would go with Pastor Pointer.
Were there some trips that were for the pastors?
Yes.
And then other trips that were for the church group members?
The only church group that trip we went on was to Israel. The rest of them would be if he was doing something on his own, I guess, speaking engagement wise, or if he was following Pastor Pointer.
And then were there also personal trips?
And then we had personal trips.
If Brodus told you that he wanted you to go on that trip, was it expected that you would be on that trip?
I was on that trip.
Now I want to talk to you about the hotel room rule, okay? What would happen when Brodus would walk in and you were wearing clothing in a hotel room?
Once I did it and just, I don't know if I was cold or what, but when he was like, why do you still have on clothes? And that happened, he withdrew affection from me. Like he was very cold, didn't want to be intimate until after I got undressed. But even then, it was then like a punishment I had to wait for him to decide that he was gonna then give affection.
Now I wanna talk to you about Pastor Pointer, okay?
Okay.
You called him the professor?
Yes.
What was his position within St. Mark's?
He was the lead pastor of St. Mark.
Did he know about your relationship with Brodus?
Yes, we hung out together a lot.
Do you know, is that why Pastor Pointer was supposed to be his medical emergency contact?
Correct.
Now I want to talk to you about the beginning of your relationship with Brodus, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe y'all's relationship at the beginning?
At the beginning, it was, I'm gonna have to say, amazing. I felt beautiful. He showed me so much attention. We did all kind of things together. It was, I mean, like, even we gelled intellectually. It was a great relationship.
Everything that you didn't have before?
Everything I didn't have before. Even to the fact I show up in my office and he had me a dozen of roses sent to me. It was just like everything that I wanted, everything that I even shared with him that I didn't have, he was giving it to me.
Did you also give him things?
I did.
What kind of things did Brodus like?
As the relationship progressed, he got into cigars, and that was a big thing for him, to the point to where he had someone to draw him up a logo, and then I selected the name, so he became the smoking savant. And so the more expensive the cigar, the better for him. Then it went from cigars to bourbon, and he had to have the best of the best of the bourbons.
Did you buy him the best of the best of the bourbons?
Yes, I did.
Did you buy him the best of the best of cigars?
I did.
Did you buy him other things?
He wanted this Tumi briefcase for work. I think it was like $400. I got him that. He was working out, and so he needed more workout clothes, and so I purchased him like $400 worth of gear in Nike gear. There was a time when he wanted to redo his closet and get some things organized, and I bought all the organization things to make sure that whatever he needed, I did it so that he could be good.
Did he also expect you to do that?
It got to a point to where it did become an expectation.
At the beginning of your relationship, at some point, did Tabitha go to Florida?
Yes, in 2017, it was around, I think, October. Brodus said that he had sent Tabitha back to Florida and that they were separated. He said that he just needed, he was feeling this urge of, he had this thing of saying that he was always wanting to be single. He never knew what it meant to be a single man. And so in that instance, he was sending her back so he could explore that to some degree.
Did he indicate to you that they were separated?
Yes.
How long was she in Florida?
At least to after Christmas.
So over a month?
Yes.
2 months?
Yes.
And during that period of time, were you staying with him a lot?
Yes, I stayed probably about 3 or 4 nights with him during that time. And we also went out of the country.
Now, I want to talk to you about when y'all would travel together, kind of what you would, or I'm sorry, not when you traveled together, the things that y'all would do together.
Okay.
Travel was one of them, right?
Yes.
And did you both get interested in bourbon?
I did start eventually tasting them. He would always ask me to taste and try to figure out the notes or the different contents of them, but it wasn't something that I just enjoyed.
What about cigars?
Again, I did begin to smoke certain cigars. He picked out one that was better for me than the others that wasn't too strong.
Did you go with him to cigar lounges?
Yes. Everywhere we traveled, we would find cigar lounges.
Did you actually pay his dues to cigar clubs?
The first, I paid 2 sets of dues. The first set of dues was at Dave's and Sons, and those won that much. And then the second one was at a club called 1836.
Were those expensive?
They were $125.
A month?
Yes.
Did he ask you to pay that?
No.
You just did?
I did.
To make him happy?
Yes.
Did you engage in any physical activities together?
We ran together. We eventually began cycling. He got upset with me because I did not purchase his bike. I was like, I can't afford your $2,500 bike and mine. And that did cause him to be upset. But he eventually got his bike and I got mine, and we joined a cycling club together. We also exercised together. We would go swimming. So we did those things.
Around those kind of activities, did you have any particular rules that you had to follow?
Now, if we were at the cigar lounge and we was not hanging out with a certain group, he would have me to call a certain individual to invite her to come so that it looked like it was more of a church thing than it was just he and I hanging out. And that was just kind of the case even with the running. It was going to always be somebody from the church, even though they didn't know they were a third party. It was the way of being able for us to still be together, but it not look like it was just us together. It would always be someone from the church.
And who made that rule to have somebody else always there?
That was him.
I want to talk to you now about ethical non-monogamy, okay?
Yes.
Did Brodus talk to you about ethical non-monogamy?
Yes.
Was this a lifestyle that he was interested in?
Yes.
Can you tell the jury what Brodus told you about ethical non-monogamy? What is it?
It is where individuals are able to have multiple relationships, but everyone in the relationship must consent.
Did Brodus tell you that he had talked to Tabitha about ethical non-monogamy?
He did.
Did he tell you that Tabitha had said she was comfortable with it, but he just hadn't told her about you yet?
He said that she had given him permission to be open on his side of the marriage.
So she was not allowed to be open on her side?
Correct.
But he told you that she had given him permission to go outside?
Yes.
But he had not told her about you, to your knowledge?
No, not to my knowledge.
Did Brodus ever give you a book to read?
The Ethical Slut is the book that he wanted me to read so that I could have a more foundation and knowledge of this lifestyle that he was wanting to be in.
Did you read that book?
I did.
Were you interested in the lifestyle espoused by that book?
No, I was not.
How soon into the relationship did Brodus Perry start discussing this concept of ethical non-monogamy?
Actually, it started, so we were just having conversations about things in life that we wanted to do, bucket list type of things that we were curious in. And at that time, he was like, one of the things I want to do is have a threesome. And I was like, no, that's nothing I've ever thought about. But he was like, well, I've had one before, but I paid for it. And this time I want to have one where I don't have to pay for it. And so he began to speak about, the term he would use is Tabitha and I being sister wives. Didn't quite know what that meant, but as things went on, he would start to talk about me watching them have sex. And he was like, but I think she'll be on board with it, just give it time. But so this would be the dialogue. And that dialogue just continued on to where it went from watchers to now wanting to have the threesomes. Then that's when the ethical slut was introduced. And so it was just like a progression of this lifestyle that he wanted.
So kind of breaking that down, how far into the relationship did he start discuss wanting a watcher with you?
It was pretty early on. I would have to say it was before they took their trip to Cuba, which was around his birthday in May, that he began to talk. He was talking about the watcher. So that was 3 months.
Was that a different trip than the birthday trip that he took where he had the threesome?
Yes, that was a different trip.
Okay. Did the threesome birthday trip happen while y'all were together or before?
It happened while we were together.
Did you know that he was going to do that?
The threesome trip in Cuba?
No, when he went and paid for the threesome.
Oh, that was well before I knew him.
Okay. At any point, did you watch him and Tabitha have sex?
No.
Was Tabitha ever invited to watch you and Brodus have sex?
No.
Were you comfortable with the concept of a watcher?
No.
Was Brodus persistent about a watcher?
Very much so.
Explain that for me.
Everywhere we went, he would even text me and say, "Hey, you need to find us a watcher." And so I got to the point I was like, if I can find somebody, hopefully I can get him to stop. So I asked a friend of mine if she would do it for us, and she was like, "If I do, we're taking it to our grave." He had me to tell her to download Confide. and we were able to dialogue three-way, and the things that he was asking her to do, she just backed out.
Did that whole thing make you very uncomfortable?
Very much so.
Why were you willing to even entertain it?
I wanted to make him happy.
So now I want to talk to you about Brodus wanting to expand the ethical non-monogamy. Well, I guess first, was he actually engaging in ethical non-monogamy?
No.
Tabitha had no idea any of this was going on, right?
No.
As far as you knew, she knew that that's what he wanted, but he hadn't told her.
Or as I knew, correct.
And you've heard differently from even that here.
Yes.
Did Brodus ask you about expanding the relationship beyond you?
He did.
When he asked you about that, how did you respond?
I told him I didn't want to.
Did he tell you, well, my wife's on board with it, so why isn't my girlfriend?
That's exactly what he said.
Did that cause problems between you and Brodus?
At first, no, but as it continued to go on, it did. Especially after he joined like this, he called it a book club, but it was, they met on Marco Polo talking about the book, The Ethical Slut, and so the more that he engaged in that, it became to where it was, because he was more like, why are you not on board with this? And I'm like, why would I be? Like, it doesn't make sense, because we already have limited time together, so why would I say, yes, you can be able to be with multiple women? And so it was that part, it was hard.
Did you love Brodus, Mary?
I shouldn't have, but I did.
Were you in love with Brodus Perry?
I was.
Were you wanting to build a life with Brodus Perry?
I wanted what we had at that time, yes.
And y'all saw each other frequently, right?
We saw each other just about every day. I would cook for him, and so he would come to my office to eat lunch. If he didn't come to the office, I would drop it off for him. But it got to the point to where he knew my code to my office, so he would just come in. He knew where to get his lunch, warm it up. And if I had a session, of course, he would wait out in his vehicle. But other than that, he would come in and we would sit there and have lunch every day.
How did Brodus react when you told him that you were not open to expanding to allow him to have more girlfriends?
He was emotionally distant. He would tell me, well, you need to go and find someone. And I'd be like, you know, I don't want anyone but you. And so he knew that that would play on like my insecurities. So one time when he said, you need to go out and find someone, I said, well, what if I do? And he said, well, then we won't be together. So he knew that was going to get to me because I wanted to be with him. I enjoyed our time together when we did have it, and so he used the emotional part, the affection. He would give it to me, withdraw it if I wasn't really complying with what he wanted.
Since all of this has happened, have you had time to really retrospectively consider your relationship with Brodus?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I want to talk to you. We'll get back to that. I want to talk to you about that Marco Polo group, okay?
Okay.
Brodus was in an ethical non-monogamy group with two other women, right?
Yes.
Were you a part of that group?
I was not.
Were you ever allowed to be involved with that group?
I wasn't.
But you knew about it?
Yes.
Would he have let you contribute?
That was the first time that of any activity that he'd done that he didn't even invite me to do.
Did he actively keep it from you?
I would say so, because with any other thing he did, even to joining a bourbon society, like we had memberships to a lot of things together, but that was one thing that he did not invite me to.
I want to talk to you about when Brodus and Tabitha Perry moved to Memphis, okay?
Okay.
Mississippi Boulevard reached out to Brodus, right?
To my knowledge, according to him, the pastor from Mississippi Boulevard reached out to Pastor Pointer, and then Pastor Pointer shared that with Brodus.
Had Brodus, to your knowledge, had any issues at St. Mark's?
Yes, he would tell me a lot about conflict that he was having with some of his coworkers. And then there was one instance where, according to him, he had had misuse of a credit card.
Your Honor, this is going to the context of their relationship, just getting background on, this is going to her buying things, paying for things. This is a debt that she repaid for him. That's what it's going into.
Ms. Daniels, I'm going to rephrase my question a little bit, okay? At some point, did a situation arise where you had to pay back money to the church for Rose?
Yes.
How much was that?
The debt was $2,500, but I ended up giving him $2,300, and he got very upset with me about it.
Why did he get upset with you about it?
Because he wanted me to do the full price.
And that was not your debt, right?
No.
So, did Brodus talk to you when this other church reached out to him?
He did.
Did he discuss with you whether or not he should accept it?
Yes.
What did you tell him?
I told him I thought it was a great opportunity for him.
Why?
Because of the things that was being shared to me, that he was, some things he was dealing with within the employment at St. Mark. I thought that would be a great thing for him. So he sent me his resume, told me to change it to a performance base, and I did that, and he went to the interview.
Is Mississippi Boulevard a prestigious church?
To my knowledge.
And you're not from here, right?
No.
You've never lived in Memphis?
I have not.
Did he eventually, to your knowledge, accept that position at Mississippi Boulevard?
Yes.
Did the church have a going away party for Brodus and Tabitha Perry?
I planned a going away party. Actually, he had two. He had one at the Cigar Lounge and then one for the church.
Who planned the party at the Cigar Lounge?
I did.
Who planned the party at the church?
I did.
Who paid for the majority of the gifts?
I did. And then he gave me a backstory on how to be able to elicit money from the other members of the church so that he could have a certain amount of money for when he left.
What do you mean?
Like reach out to the life groups and tell them, you know, I'm going away and we're going to do monetary gifts. So that's what I did.
Did he get monetary gifts from that?
He did.
Before Brodus left, did he give you his new address in Memphis?
Yes.
Now I want to talk to you about after they moved, okay?
Okay.
Did your relationship with Brodus Perry continue after he moved to Memphis?
Yes.
Would Brodus come back to Little Rock?
He would.
Do you know why he would come? Why he would come back?
Yes. The main reason why he would come back is because of his orthodontics appointments, and then also he was building up a business. And a consulting business, and he was beginning to get, he had one client that he was coming back to begin to do some consulting with.
What would happen when he came in town between the two of y'all?
We would meet up at the hotel and hang out.
And was that, he would come in town and he would contact you?
Yes.
And y'all would get together?
Yes.
Now I want to talk to you about April the 15th, March the 15th of 2019, okay?
Okay.
Did Brodus come in town that day?
He did.
Did he text you?
He did.
Did you meet him at the hotel?
I did.
Do you recall what hotel?
I think it may have been Spring Hill.
What happened after you went to the hotel?
The first time I went to the hotel, it was, you know, just a drop off. He had asked me to bring him, to go buy him something to eat and to get it, stop by and get him some bourbon. After I brought that to him, we made an agreement to meet up later on. I had called him and as it was getting later and say, hey, what time are we gonna meet up? And he was just like, I don't know, I'll let you know. But he never called. So I was at home and I was like, I'm just gonna break up with him. Like, I'm not gonna do this treatment. Like, it's no. I went to the lounge. I still had some gifts to give him, and he was coming out. And I said, unlock your car, and I started putting the gifts in. Well, once he got closer to me, he just hugged me and gave me the key to the room and was like, go to the room. So I was like, okay, and I did.
And once he hugged you, was it all better?
It was.
Is that kind of how it went with Brodus?
Yes.
So tell me about what happened after that.
That was one of the times that I still had my clothes on. So of course, when he got in there, he's like, why are you still got clothes on? And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I got undressed. I did tell him, I said, I was coming to break up with you because of the way you're treating me. And he laughed it off and was like, well, why didn't you? And I was like, because you know I really do love you. He came over to the bed, started tickling me. We laughed it off. And then as we began to engage in what I thought was going to be lovemaking, was not that night. As I was performing oral sex on him, he began to thrust himself inside my mouth really hard. And I told him that that was hurting. Then he grabbed my hair. I had long hair, and he wrapped my hair around his hand, and he started yanking it. And when he wasn't thrusting himself in my mouth, he was pulling my hair really hard. And with his other hand, he would just hit me and hit me and hit me. And I was like, it's hurting. And he was like, you better not bite me. You better not bite me. And then after that, we had sex, and it was just rough, and it was hard, and it was just not what I was used to. And then once we finished, something he never ever does was he rolled over and just gave me the cold shoulder. And I was like, you're not gonna hold me? And he was like, no, and just went to sleep.
How did that make you feel?
I felt so used.
Did that affect you emotionally?
Yes. I was just like, what has always happened to me?
Did you decide anything when you were in that emotional state?
Well, that particular night, that morning, we stayed the night together, and that morning he got up and he left. He was getting dressed, and I was like, where are you going? Like, we always shower together. And he was like, and I was like, where are you going with still smelling like me? And he was like, none of your business. I was like, since when did you not tell me your schedule? And he left. Well, he was getting ready to leave. So I got up and I got dressed. And as I got dressed, I grabbed the key card for the room off the thing. And he, you know, laughed it off, and I left. And later on, I text and say, hey, are we meeting up again? And he was like, I'll let you know. Of course, the day went on. I had rearranged everything thinking that he was going to end up seeing, we would see each other earlier that day, but I didn't. And so that night, when I still didn't hear from him, I decided to head to the room. And as I was going, he was there. But in my wanting to head to the room, I had made the decision that I was going to kill myself in front of him because I just wanted him to feel the pain that he was causing me. So when we got in the room, he was already in there by the time I parked and got in. And I pulled out my gun and I told him, you're about to feel the same pain that you've been giving me.
Did you ever threaten him?
No.
Did you threaten yourself?
I told him I was going to kill myself.
What did he do?
He began to tell me no, and he kept saying that he loved me and that we can fix it. And I was just like, no, you're treating me so bad. And he was just like, that's not, I love you, I love you. And eventually he talked me into putting the gun on the counter and coming over and sitting and talking to him.
Did that restore a reason for you to live in that moment?
It did.
Was this the first time that you had gotten to the point of hopelessness that you felt like you needed to kill yourself?
Not in a relationship, no.
Have you struggled for a long time with depression and suicidal ideations?
Yes.
After Rhoda's convinced you to put down the gun, did he take the gun away from you?
No.
Did he take the gun from the counter?
It wasn't until I got ready to leave when I went back to try to get it, and then he pushed me out of the way and he got it.
He didn't want you to be able to leave with the gun?
No.
And was he worried what you would do with it?
Yes. But he made me promise to meet him the next morning at the lounge.
Do you know where he put the gun?
At that time, I did not.
But he kept it from you, right?
Yes.
And you later found out that he had placed it in a locker at the cigar lounge?
Yes.
After that happened, did you realize that you needed a little bit of time?
Yes.
What did you do?
I made a plan to go and be with my friend. She is a therapist, but I just needed to get away, and she had an extra room. And so I just told her that I needed her to watch me and to just be there if I needed her.
Was she in Little Rock?
She lived in Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
So how far away from Little Rock?
About a 45-minute drive.
Is she someone that you also worked with?
Yes.
At that point in time, were you pretty desperate?
Yes, I even was going to go and be with another friend of mine who was a clinician, but she lived in St. Louis. But she then, by the time it was for me to leave one friend to go to her, was then going through some marital issues herself, so I decided not to go to her house.
During the time that you stayed with your friend, were you speaking with Rhoda's?
Very limited.
When you got back to Little Rock, did you resume speaking with Rhoda's?
I did.
Were y'all still together at that point?
Yes.
I want to talk to you about April the 4th, 2019, okay?
Yes.
Can you tell me about the text that you got on April the 4th?
I had sent a regular morning, good morning text. I didn't hear anything from him that morning. And then later in the afternoon, I seen what he had responded. And so I opened it up. And it said, "I think our time is up." So he had broke up with me via disappearing text.
How did that make you feel?
I felt so used and worthless, and I just felt like trash. Like, who does that to somebody who they say that they love?
You're a man of words. How did you react after you read that?
I wrote a note, a suicide note to my family, because I was just like, I'm tired. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of it all. And I just wanted to I wanted the pain to end. So I wrote a note and made a plan to take my life.
Your Honor, may I approach the witness?
Yes.
Latasha, do you recognize that?
Yes.
What is that?
This is the note that I wrote to my family.
Your Honor, I'd ask that that be made the next numbered exhibit.
Any objection?
Objection, Your Honor.
Page 22. Who shall the suicide letter is exhibit 22.
Latasha, can you tell me the date and time of that letter?
April 4, 2019 at 3:14 p.m.
Can you read that letter to the jury?
To my family, I'm sorry that I have let you down. I tried my best to be the person you all thought I was. I tried to be the person you could count on and be proud of. However, I have been depressed for a long time. I did well with coping until the past 2 years. My world changed February 24th, 2017. And the shit just keeps getting worse. I know what I have been through may be nothing to some. And you don't understand why I couldn't bounce back. I have fought hard for so long to keep things together. I didn't trust anyone to know deep down how bad I was struggling. Only a handful of people knew, but they couldn't help me. To my fellas, I'm so sorry that I have let you down. I have fought hard to be the best mother I could be to each of you. I pray that what I have taught you will stick with you forever. Please don't be ashamed of me. Mother, thank you for being my mother. Please know that although you didn't think I loved you, I really did. I wanted so badly for us to be close. There was many times I just wanted to crawl into your arms and have you hold me. I'm sorry for being a failure. I tried to make you proud of me. Words can't explain or express the pain I feel at this moment. I have pretended for so long to be happy. I have tried to work through the pain and begin to heal. But just as my life would have it, yet another loss appears to remind me just how much of a failure I am. I don't have any insurance, and I don't have any money. So please, just have me cremated, and don't worry about a service. I don't want to be a burden. I'm sorry for letting all you down. I love you as all so much, and I wish I could live myself as much as I wish I could love myself as much as I love you all. Please take care of my fellas and always remind them of my love for them. I'm not being selfish. I just don't know how.
This got out of hand, but it says, I'm sorry for letting all of you down, and I love you all so much. I wish I could love myself as much as I love you all. Please take care of my fellas and always remind them of my love for them. I'm not being selfish. I just don't know how to continue bearing the pain I have felt for over 25 years of my life. With each loss, hurt, disappointment, etc. I've experienced through the years, it only added to my current state of mind. I thought I could continue to push through and be strong, the strong Tasha everyone knows, but I can't. I'm weak, and I have been for over the past year and a half. I thought I would bounce back. I pray consistently, but I guess God no longer hears my prayers since I wasn't doing His will. I'm not perfect. I've messed up so many times in my life. The thing I wanted to be the most successful in, I messed up not once, but twice. Well, really three times. I will leave that for you all to find in my journal.
At
3:14
p.m.
Yes.
Where did you leave that?
I left it in my phone because I knew my little sister would find it because she helped me with my appointments. And that's the phone she used for making my appointments.
Did you leave it for her to find?
Yes.
What did you do after you wrote that note?
I drove to Sherwood to go purchase a gun.
Why did you go purchase a gun?
Because I didn't have my other one.
What was the purpose of the gun?
I wanted to end my life, and I felt like that was going to be the best way to do it.
When you went to that store, were you buying a gun to kill yourself? Or were you buying a gun to kill someone else?
I was buying a gun to kill myself. I had a whole plan.
What was your plan?
I didn't want to do it at my house because my son lived with me. So I decided, as I was just thinking about all the pain, to go to this park in Jacksonville, Arkansas.
How far away from Little Rock was that park?
Jacksonville might be about a 20-minute drive from my home. And the reason why I chose that was because that's where Brodus was. He wasn't from Jacksonville, Arkansas, but the Jacksonville part of it was attached to him. And the name of the park was Johnson Park, which was attached to my second ex-husband. And then Ray Road, my daddy's middle name was Ray, so I just associated with all the pain from the men in my life, and so that's where I was gonna go.
There's more of the Preacher's Side Chick Murder Trial of Latasha Daniels coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Extra Value Meals are back. For just $5, get a savory and sweet sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles, plus hash browns and a coffee. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.